President Clinton and Republican congressional leaders finished another meeting at the White House in another attempt to resolve their differences over the budget. We evidently have no breakthrough to report. Just before that meeting began, Mr. Clinton spoke from the White House and praised a measure approved yesterday by the Senate to end the government shutdown. But he went on the offensive against House Republicans who voted today to keep the government closed. The government shutdown has been going on now for 19 days. In a nationally broadcast statement, President Clinton spelled out all the negative consequences of the shutdown, putting pressure on House Republicans to fall into line. And he blamed the impasse on strategy devised by the Republicans who he say want their way in balancing the federal budget.
This has never been done before. It is not a natural disaster. It is an unnatural disaster born of a cynical political strategy. It is long past time to reopen the government.
Immediately after the president spoke, Republican leaders responded, saying their rank and file were determined to use their leverage to force a balanced budget. Representative John Boehner of Ohio said the government could reopen, but only if the president presents an acceptable plan that would balance the government's books in 7 years.
This is tough. This is difficult on the members, it's difficult on the American people, and certainly difficult on government workers. But the fact is that we need to have this conversation with the American people, and we need to make some decisions. We're here trying to keep our commitment to them that we would balance the budget in a responsible, reasonable way.
That's Representative John Boehner of Ohio, Republican, speaking earlier today. Joining us now from the White House is NPR's Mara Liasson. Mara, now that today's meeting is broken up, what can you tell us? What's going on?
Well, it's a deja vu all over again. There's a certain ritual to these meetings now. They met for about 3 hours and 15 minutes after they were done. The White House press secretary, Mike McCurry, came out and gave what is the standard statement, which is that they made constructive progress. They discussed many issues, and they're going to meet again tomorrow at 3 p.m. There is a news blackout on these meetings, and both sides are adhering to that blackout quite religiously. They don't discuss the substance.
These reports always suggest no progress, yet they managed to spend some time in there. They're doing something.
No, they are doing something, and you know, it's interesting. You just played that tape of the rhetoric that was flying in public today. The rhetoric on the shutdown has very little to do with what's happening behind closed doors in these budget talks. The two sides are actually inching up to a deal, as I am told. One White House advisor used some almost X-rated language to describe it. He said there was some foreplay tonight, but they're not going to go all the way. In other words, they really are starting to talk about ranges of numbers, where they each could move on the crucial issues of Medicare and tax cuts. Over the weekend, you had what amounted to a policy seminar at the White House. That's no longer what's happening. Now they're getting down to hard political calculations about what each side needs to claim victory. And of course, getting a deal means that each side has to give something up that would have made it easier for them to claim victory. So that's where they're at now.
But you say that the crunch issues would seem to be Medicaid and tax cuts. And you're talking about numbers. Do we know if they're also talking about whether Medicaid should be block granted to the states, for example?
They are, but I don't think that was part of the discussions tonight. There is a group of governors that is trying to work on a compromise, something that would give the president the individual entitlement that he demands for Medicaid, but still give the governors all the flexibility that they want in those programs. Now, we don't know if they've come up with something there, but in terms of numbers, we do know that each side has a number in mind. The Republicans know how far they can move on tax cuts. The White House knows how far they are willing to move on Medicare, but these are very closely guarded secrets. For the president, the number on Medicaid is something that will allow him to say, I did what I said I'd do. I protected Medicare. For the Republicans, the number on tax cuts is something that will preserve the capital gains tax cut, the family tax credit, but still look as if they didn't give away the store. We don't know what those numbers are, but we know that they both have numbers in mind that would satisfy their own rank and file in Congress and their interest groups, their constituency groups.
You said that these meetings no longer are policy seminars, as they were described a few days ago. Do you have any idea of what actually happens in these meetings?
Well, I do have a little bit of color, some nuggets that I've been able to pry out of some officials here. For one thing, we know that there was a prop used, which was one of those easels that you can write on with magic markers and then wipe clean. Leon Panetta uses this board to draw, sketch out the moving parts, Medicaid, domestic discretionary cuts, tax cuts, and draw a lot of arrows and lines to show how they all fit together. One of the reasons he's using this board instead of passing out charts on paper is secrecy. Charts on paper can be leaked. This board can be wiped clean. We also know that Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole, who is a consummate deal maker, was quite silent during the policy seminar point of the talks over the weekend. But now that it's getting a little closer to the deal-making time, he's becoming more animated. We also know that there is someone in the talks, House Majority Leader Dick Armey, with whom the White House does not have good relations. There was a moment several weeks ago where the president and Armey got into a real red-faced, finger-pointing match. But Armey is in the room, and his presence is an insurance policy. He's considered to be a hardliner. The White House doesn't necessarily think it can do business with him, but they know that if he's there, it's a better chance that whatever deal they finally come up with will actually get the votes from the House freshmen, since he is a proxy for them.
Well, Mara, thank you very much. NPR's Mara Liasson reporting to us from the White House, where the latest budget meeting wrapped up shortly.